This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Stalwart reporter Janet Babin of member station WCPN in Cleveland has been out on that city's Cuyahoga River. Stalwartness required. The Cuyahoga was once so polluted it actually caught fire. It's been cleaned up a lot in the last 35 years, but environmentalists say the Cuyahoga remains a good example of how many rivers still need help. Here's what Janet found.
To Wayne Bratton, the U-shaped Cuyahoga River is like an office where he's worked for more than 50 years. He remembers the 1969 fire well. The gritty captain is getting his 65-foot boat ready to shove off a Cuyahoga dock.
You're going to throw anything from right here. That's the difference between seamen and yachtsmen. Yachtsmen work off the dock, seamen work off the boat.
Cruising upstream to the old fire site, the boat passes a mix of working industries and abandoned buildings that have been partially reclaimed by wildlife. Gulls are nesting atop heaping mounds of limestone and iron ore near a hulking steel mill. Back in the 1960s, there were no birds here. Industry used the river as a toxic waste dump. Bratton and his friend Frank Samsel were both working on the water the day of the fire.
You don't realize this is wall-to-wall oil all the time, just constant.
And the river was black,
yeah,
and it bubbled like a cauldron.
On that June day, sparks from an open-topped railroad car hit the oily waters and the muck ignited. The fire was picked up by Time magazine, and Cleveland became the butt of jokes on late-night television. Composer Randy Newman memorialized the burning Cuyahoga in song.
Cause the Cuyahoga River goes smoking through my dreams. Burn on, big river, burn on.
While a river fire might be hard to imagine today, Case Western Reserve University law professor Jonathan Adler says back then it was not as unusual as it sounds. The Cuyahoga had ignited several times before, as had rivers in other cities. But Adler says this blaze caused public outrage because it happened at a time when attitudes about the environment were changing. Adler says earlier that same year, a devastating oil spill in Santa Barbara and other factors were raising collective awareness about pollution.
The combination of increased wealth and the increased demand for environmental quality, as well as the improved understanding of the way human actions affect the environment around us, I think those two factors really explain more than anything else why we began to view environmental problems differently.
After the fire made national news, Cleveland's mayor testified at a congressional hearing that eventually led to passage of the Clean Water Act. As a result, regional sewer treatment plants were built around the country, industrial discharges were regulated, and many companies built their own wastewater treatment plants. In Cleveland, some of the most egregious offenders, including a coke plant on the river, closed rather than comply with the new standards. But Ben Grumbles with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says 3 decades later, the goal of the Clean Water Act, that all U.S. waters be fishable and swimmable and pollution discharges be eliminated, seems unattainable.
You know, in terms of a national date to meet that noble goal, we can't put a number on that or a specific year. We can say, and I think everyone agrees, that we have made great progress and face great challenges too.
Those challenges include daunting population growth and a lack of financial resources. Yale professor Dan Esty spent several years with the EPA. He says the Clean Water Act won't be met until urban and agricultural runoff is regulated and officials rein in noncompliance, companies that routinely overstep their allowable pollution limits.
I think it's quite clear that if more money were spent and resources more carefully targeted, we would get better results from the system.
The system has left Cleveland's river with low oxygen levels, combined sewer overflows, and remnants of the old chemicals like DDT in sediment and fish. For the Cuyahoga, the results of the Clean Water Act can perhaps best be measured by something that's not happening. The 1969 fire was the last known time that the river burst into flames. For NPR News, I'm Janet Babin in Cleveland.